Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, September 6th, 2020. Despite my best efforts, COVID-19 killed my patient. A commentary by Dr. Summer Merritt. You know you can cure a wart by rubbing a penny on it? It's true. This bit of advice is the first Jack gave me. A natural skeptic, I wasn't sure if I believed his truth. Jack had a quick quip every time I saw him, which, if one counts the multiple appointments a veteran octogenarian with myriad medical problems has with his small-town family physician each year for 12 years, that adds up to quite a few stories. He had the gift for telling jokes with a hint of inappropriateness, making me laugh without causing either of us to feel uncomfortable. His laugh was contagious, and the added twinkle in his eye would elicit a real smile, not the polite one reserved for casual acquaintances. He wore white socks with brown Velcro sandals and suspenders with shorts. Jack made up his own phrases for medical terms, like peace pipe for nebulizer mouthpiece. He loved his family and always asked about mine. Even though he had plenty of medical reasons to complain, he rarely did. He was always grateful for my time and care, whether it be a complex medical issue requiring hospitalization and coordination of specialists, or a simple problem like a wart with a straightforward treatment, not the aforementioned penny. The last time I saw him coherent, he told me, "Thank you." He also said that he loved me. I managed to whisper an echo to his sentiments as I told him to keep fighting. Tears escaped my eyes, the only visible bit of my face, and slid down behind my steamy face shield and onto the suffocating N95 mask, my gloved hands growing clammier because of emotion. Although the scorching Texas sun and 108-degree day could be partially blamed, sadness added to my physical discomfort. Alone in his hospital room, sweat beaded his face from breathing so rapidly, and his voice sounded muffled from the breathing machine mask. Jack died from respiratory failure caused by COVID-19 this summer. He decided against the ventilator because he didn't want the responsibility of pulling the plug to fall on his family, or even me. He knew he was dying. I knew he was dying. I pleaded with him not to give up hope, not yet. We had tried everything. Day 10 of COVID-19 was barreling right toward us, smack in the middle of the cytokine storm that stirred up inflammation, made his lungs clamp down, and clouded the chest x-ray with white, hazy shadows. 10 days before, he felt completely fine. His wife, also my patient, tested positive for COVID-19 with only non-specific symptoms, so I had him tested too. Prepared for a positive test result for Jack, I started a variety of at-home treatments. Some were tried and true, and some were me grasping for fixes not yet proven but of potential help. I added and subtracted medications from the regimen in the daily phone calls between Jack and my nurses. 5 days into the diagnosis, they called 911 because of increasing shortness of breath. Nothing had helped. Car on autopilot. I went into the hospital, COVID unit, to take care of Jack. The hospitalists had done everything right, used every available option, but this virus can be vicious and didn't care about Jack or silver bullets or miracle cures. His fear fed my defeat. Because I had devoured the SARS-CoV-2 scientific literature published this spring and took a veritable part-time job to critically evaluate new virus treatments, I anticipated the next turn. Jack was heading directly into the eye of the cytokine storm. This process is defined by medical journals, but was painted much more vividly in first-hand accounts given by my physician colleagues in New York and Seattle. They described their patients' experiences and their own subsequent nightmares. He had got all the hospital had to offer: IVs, breathing treatments, plasma, steroids, maximum non-invasive respiratory support, the proverbial kitchen sink. It was all futile. Recently, I stopped looking at local case counts and mortality rates because I wasn't seeing numbers. Instead, I saw other people's brothers, fathers, mothers, uncles, and friends in those statistics. Each new fatality, a grim reminder that despite the best, most genuine efforts my colleagues and I offer, this disease sometimes wins. We do our best with limited resources, and it still beats us. And these are the moments in which physicians hit a wall. We make hard decisions to stop curative care, to make someone comfortable. But there is no comfort to be had for us in those moments. You see, we are healers and fixers. Despite how we might be perceived, everyone in the physician community I personally know joined these ranks because we care. We care about individuals and who they are outside the hospital, their families and their stories. We study, learn, largely giving up an entire decade to dedicate ourselves to science, medicine, diseases, and systems. This is done in the hopes of preventing illness, finding cures and treatments. With COVID-19 and all other diseases, for that matter, we try our hardest to do best by our patients. We echo public health mantras to prevent our patients from ever contacting this disease in the first place. If you spend any time watching the news, checking social media, or cruising the internet, it seems like doctors as a whole are now withholding treatments or are swayed by politics or government or insurance companies or pharmaceutical industry, that certain groups of physicians are silencing the truth. As someone who routinely holds people's hands as they are taking their last breaths, I can assure you that none of those factors play into my medical decision-making. I speak that same truth for my colleagues. First and foremost, when medical decisions are made in the gray zone, we consider the patient at hand. The black and white nature of medicine and science first attracted me. Reasons, fact, and proof are comforting. But when one applies the laws of science to human beings, you can end up in the gray zone or practicing the art of medicine. This art is rarely cafeteria style or one size fits all. It is combining an individual patient, their medical diagnoses, beliefs, situation, and circumstances, with our years of training, experience, and our reliance on science and understanding of medicine. The only truth being silenced is that physicians are providing the care that we have always provided. We use proven scientific methods, plus the art of medicine, plus compassion to treat our patients. Pandemic or no pandemic, COVID-19 or not, this truth is somewhat inconvenient because it isn't sensationalized or promising to provide a cure for an incurable disease. My truth is, despite my best efforts, COVID-19 killed my patient. I couldn't save him. I tried my hardest to make him better and failed. And honestly, this is heartbreaking as a physician and as a human being, because my last words to him were true. I did love him too. Despite my failings, he still squeezed my hand and said, "Thank you. I know."
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, September 5th. 2020. Section A. Doctors say keep following COVID precautions, by Ruth Campbell. Labor Day weekend is here, and with it, the possibility of a COVID-19 spike. So Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray featured Drs. Rohith Saravanan and Timothy Benton on the ECISD live broadcast the evening of September 3rd. Their advice was to continue to stay safe and follow health advice from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, state and local authorities. Saravanan is the Chief Medical Officer at Odessa Regional Hospital, and Benton is Regional Chairman and Associate Dean for Clinical Affairs at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center of the Permian Basin. Both were asked for predictions on the virus. Benton said he expects it to follow the pattern of other respiratory viruses like the flu, but that's one people have experience with. People don't have much experience with coronavirus. Saravanan said there are 26 million cases of coronavirus worldwide. The total number of cases in the U.S. is 6.17 million. In Texas, Saravanan said there was a spike in July. We did not see the earlier spike the rest of the U.S. saw. To further drill down to our county, our cases also followed exactly what Texas followed. We didn't have a big rise right at the beginning. Then we had a big rise we had to deal with. The last 14 days has fluctuated, he said. We've had little spikes here and there. We want to make sure these spikes don't happen again. Within that two-week period of time right after a holiday, that's one of the things we have to concentrate on, even for the future, Saravanan added. As of Friday morning, the county website said Ector County had 4,323 cases of COVID, with 3,557 labeled as recovered. Active cases number about 700. Saravanan said recovered means you've had COVID-19. 10 or 14 days pass and you're asymptomatic, which means you don't have symptoms, you're not taking any medications, and you're still fine. He said the question is, how long do people need to wear face masks, face shields, and social distance? If you look at the life cycle of any virus, it comes up. It becomes a big pandemic, and then we have to figure out a way to not let it rise to these high levels, he said. With the flu virus, we have a flu shot. And if we didn't have a flu shot, we would have a pandemic every flu season. A vaccine for coronavirus is being worked on worldwide, and there are different vaccines at different stages, he said. None of these have been approved for full use, and these three limited-use vaccines, Saravanan said, pointing to an information on the screen, they're not here in the U.S., they're in other countries, but we are going to be getting some limited use vaccines, hopefully in a few months, like Dr. Benton was mentioning. That is what we have to look forward to, and that's probably what's going to really help us curb the spread of this disease and move forward. With each of the holidays, Benton said people gather and shorten their social distancing, but precautions still have to be taken. And with each of these holidays, we're seeing these little spikes, as Dr. Saravanan was showing on the graphic. So that should be a point of education for us going into the Labor Day weekend, Benton said. Saravanan said the community is doing well and heeding medical advice about wearing masks, trying to stay as isolated as possible, and distancing as much as possible. I'm giving maybe a little bit too much credit, but we're doing well enough that we have been able to stabilize this disease process and control the burden to the community and the healthcare community specifically. I'd like us to learn from that and know that these actions do have positive impacts. We've been able to do this to control it. Let's not go backwards when we haven't done something different. When we have a vaccine, we've done something differently, and we'll be able to roll back some of the precautions that we're taking now, but we are not doing anything else differently now other than having time pass. So the only thing we have learned is that precautions work. So let's continue those precautions over the holidays so we don't see another spike after Labor Day again, Saravanan said. He said he's not discouraging people from living life, but he advises them to wear their masks when they're around people as much as possible. Try not to congregate in very large groups as much as possible. Congregate outdoors as much as possible. And try not to spend 15 minutes or more with the same person in a confined space. Saravanan said the Centers for Disease Control defines exposure as being in a room for 15 minutes with someone with COVID-19. Regardless of whether you are wearing a mask or not, the mask is supposed to prevent the droplets from coming out of your nose and your mouth. It's not 100%, but we have seen that it worked. We've seen that it's curbed some of the spread, so we want to continue doing it as much as we can, Saravanan added. Murray said school was able to resume August 12th because the community was doing what it needed to do. He praised the students, teachers, and administration for following the health guidance. Next Tuesday, September 8th, on top of the holiday weekend, we bring another several thousand students back to school, and again, we'll encourage them to make sure they continue to follow the guidance, Murray said. Benton advised people to continue what they are doing. I think we're doing a pretty good job of controlling it. Stay safe and be mindful of it. I would say we're all talking about protecting ourselves, but part of this is love your neighbor, protect your neighbor, protect the other person because you might be a carrier too, Benton said.
This is Trish reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, September 8th, 2020. Excessive heat in the Southwest adds new threat amid pandemic, by Brian P.D. Hannon and Cheyenne Mumphrey, Associated Press, Phoenix. As people around them sat and napped, some sipping water in an air-conditioned shelter on another sweltering day in a summer of record-breaking heat, Gary Goodman and Lena Stewart spoke of the fatal dangers of living on the street. There's been a lot of friends and a lot of people I know who have passed away, said Goodman, a 47-year-old California native. I guess they don't realize, like you know, the oncoming symptoms of heat exhaustion, so we've been finding a lot of deceased people in their tents. Goodman and Stewart weren't together but sat at nearby tables last week in the Phoenix Convention Center. They can't say with certainty if those they know died as a direct result of the heat, but the numbers back up their suspicions. Between June and August, Phoenix reported 50 days with a high temperature of at least 110 degrees, surpassing the record of 33 days in 2011. And July and August were the hottest months ever in the nation's fifth largest city. Heat is the top weather-related cause of death in the United States. Data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention show more people are killed on average by heat than tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, and lightning combined. The CDC notes that community cooling centers help protect the public during heat emergencies, but this summer they have also increased the risk of coronavirus by gathering groups of people together. In Maricopa County, which includes Phoenix, authorities reported 55 confirmed heat-associated deaths as of August 29th, up from 38 all of last year. The county tracks heat-related deaths from May to October, according to the Department of Public Health Administration website. There are 266 cases under investigation, about double last year's 134. The record heat wasn't just in Phoenix, as several desert cities across the Southwest saw triple-digit temperatures and new records, including Las Vegas, El Centro, California, and El Paso.
Obituary and death notices for Saturday, September 5th. Renee Romero. Renee Romero, 49, passed away August 28th. He was born in Ojinaga, Chihuahua, June 16, 1971. He was the son of Manuel and the late Amelia L. Romero. He is survived by his wife, Sylvia Gamboa, 6 children, Yasmin Gamboa, Jacob G. Romero, Jonathan I. Salazar, Tiffany Velasquez, Brittany R. Romero, Renee Romero Jr., 2 grandchildren. Siblings Guadalupe Romero, Dolores Romero, Sylvia Urias, Manuel L. Romero, Elko Romero, Veronica Alvarado, Araceli Romero. He is preceded in death by his brother Guadalupe and his mother Amelia L. Romero. He will be buried in Ojinaga, Chihuahua. Death notices. Henry Herbert Praws. Henry Herbert Praws, 48, of Odessa, died Monday, August 31st. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Jimmy B. Todd. Jimmy B. Todd, 82, died Tuesday, September 1st, in Dallas. Services are pending with Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors of Odessa.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, September 6th, 2020. Obituaries and death notices. On Tuesday, September 1st, Jose Enrique Salinas, Sr., living father, grandpa, and great-grandpa, was called home. Viewing will be from 9 o'clock a.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., Monday, September 7th, with a rosary at 7 p.m. at Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday, September 8th at St. Anne's Catholic Church, with burial following at Fairview Cemetery. Francie T. Murdoch, 80, of Midland, passed away September 3rd. Memorial services are pending at this time. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be given to Lone Star Sanctuary for Animals or a favorite charity. Juan Jesus Hurado, 77, of Midland, passed away Friday, August 28th. No services will be held. Arrangements were made under Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home.
Obituaries and death notices for Sunday, September 6th. James Douglas Jimmy D. Rose. James Jimmy D. Rose, 82, of Odessa, passed away August 25th. He was born August 9th, 1938, to James and Mabel Rose in Gatesville. He is survived by his wife Diane, son Bradley, daughter Janine, 3 grandchildren, and many nieces and nephews. No service is scheduled at this time. In lieu of flowers, please donate to the charity of your choice. Services are entrusted to Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Sarah Frances Waller Hinson. Sarah Frances Waller Hinson passed away August 30th in Longview. She was born February 11th, 1944, in Baskin, Louisiana. She had 3 children, Pamela, Sherry, and Todd, 3 stepchildren, David Hinson, Joey Hinson, and Tracy Hinson, 8 grandchildren, and 5 great-grandchildren. Funeral services will be held September 8th at 9 a.m. at Acres West. Graveside services will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Death notices. Sherry Yvonne Ferris. Sherry Yvonne Ferris, 59, died Saturday, August 29th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Angel Lavario. Angel Lavario, 27, of Odessa, died Monday, August 31st. Mass will be celebrated at 9 a.m. Wednesday, September 9th at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Tomas Rivera Nieto. Tomas Rivera Nieto, 71, died Thursday, September 3rd in Midland. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Rolando Landy Rosas. Rolando Landy Rosas, 39, of Odessa, died Tuesday, September 1st. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. September 8th at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Michael Ray Villa. Michael Ray Villa, 26, of Odessa, died Saturday, August 29th. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. September 8th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home, with Father Mark Woodruff officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Cruz Ramirez Guzman. Cruz Ramirez Guzman, 69, of Odessa, passed away Sunday, August 30th at his residence. He was born May 3rd, 1951, in Mexico to Amelia Ramirez and Julian Guzman. He married Juanita Natividad in 1968 in Pecos, and she has passed away in 2006. Cruz is survived by his son, Michael Guzman, and wife, Alva, of Odessa, daughters Nancy Barola and husband Raul, and Rosemary Russell and husband Juan Carlos of Odessa, his mother, Amelia Guzman of Pecos, brothers Lorenzo Guzman of San Antonio, Jesus Guzman, Julian Guzman, and Armando Guzman, all of Texas, 14 grandchildren, 20 great-grandchildren, numerous nieces and nephews, his companion, Josie Ramos of Odessa, as well as his four sons, Joey and wife Sylvia, Ricky, Adrian, and Efrain Ramos, seven grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his wife, Juanita Guzman, father, Julian Guzman, brothers Juan and Ruben Guzman, sisters Marina Venegas and Socorro Corin Lopez, a grandson and a great-grandson. Visitation was held Saturday and Sunday, September 5th and 6th, Sunday until 9 p.m., and Monday, September 7th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., with rosary being recited at 7 p.m. Monday at Odessa Funeral Home Chapel. A funeral service will be Tuesday, September 8th at 10 a.m. at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church, followed by interment at the Rose Hill section of Ector County Cemetery. Molly Jean Harden. Molly Jean Harden of Ringgold, Georgia, passed away August 19th. She was born December 17th, 1938 in Merkel, to the late Archie Floyd Harden and Lily Beatrice Eggleston Harden. Along with her parents, she is preceded in death by her brothers Leon Harden, Odell Harden, Floy Hewlin Harden, and Lynn Harden, a sister, Barbara Harden Brooks. She is survived by her siblings Ruby Harden of Ringgold, Georgia, Delbert and wife Linda Harden of Odessa, and Dana and husband Greg Meeks of Spring, sister-in-law Lenny D. Harden of Lipan, special aunt Faye Walker of Big Spring, and many nieces, nephews, and cousins. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. Wednesday, September 9th at Ector County Cemetery, 300 South Dixie Boulevard. In lieu of flowers, please make a donation to the charity of your choice. Online guest book at www.wilsonfuneralhome.com. Arrangements are by W.L. Wilson and Sons Funeral Home of Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia. Emily Beth Shamness. San Marcos. Emily Beth Shamness, Nee Buchanan, passed away at home after battling many health issues. She was born in Del Rio, March 25th, 1975. Emily is survived by her daughter, J.C. Beth Jordan, her mother, Marla Jordan Hensley, and husband, Joe Hensley, and her father, Joseph Jody Buchanan. She is preceded in death by her grandparents, Margaret and Harold Jordan, and a baby boy, Ryan Cale Holland. Graveside services will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, September 9th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Marcia McIntyre Cole. Marcia McIntyre Cole passed away in her sleep June 30th at home in Houston. She was born to William and Florence McIntyre July 6, 1931 in Fairchance, Pennsylvania. She married Paul Cole. Marcia is survived by her daughter Kimberly Patchell and husband John of Houston, Nancy Goble and husband Alan of Denver, and son Christopher Cole and wife Jody of Spring, 7 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren, as well as her brother William McIntyre of Hopwood, Pennsylvania. A celebration of life is pending. She will be interred in urned at Northwoods Presbyterian of Houston, and a memorial will be held at Maple Grove Cemetery in Fairchance, Pennsylvania. Memorials may be made to Northwoods Presbyterian of Houston.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 8th, 2020. Obituaries and death notices. Obituaries. Jimmy B. Todd, Odessa. Jimmy B. Todd, 82, of Odessa, had his homecoming following a brief illness on September 1st, 2020, and was received by his Lord and Savior that loved him so much and that he loved his entire life. A celebration of life will be held at First Baptist Church on Wednesday, September 9th at 1:30 p.m., with Pastor Byron McWilliams officiating. Public viewing will be Tuesday, September 8th from 1 to 7 p.m. at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors. Jimmy is survived by his wife of 60 years, Anne, and his daughter, Mary Todd Coyme, and son-in-law, Carlton Coyme of Odessa. Sister, Jane Pointer of Perryton, and by 3 grandchildren, Zachary Coyme of Kansas City, Missouri, Jared Coyme of Odessa, and Hope Short, and her husband Luke Short from Granbury. Jimmy is preceded in death by 2 sons, John Mark Todd, who died in infancy, and Michael Clinton Todd, who died in 1994. His parents, Mary Britton and Jack Todd, and granddaughter Brittany Coyme. In lieu of flowers, a donation can be made to First Baptist Church Building Fund, which was so close to Jimmy's heart. Please visit frankwwilson.com to leave online condolences. Tomas Rivera Nieto, Midland. Tomas Rivera Nieto, age 71, of Odessa, Texas, passed away on Thursday, September 3rd, 2020, peacefully at his home, surrounded by his loving family, after a long battle with cancer. He was born on Monday, March 7th, 1949, in Cuchillo, Parado, Mexico, to the late Apolinar Nieto and Natividad Rivera. Those left to cherish his love and memories are his beloved wife of 47 years, Socorro Nieto of Odessa, Texas, son Tomas Nieto Jr., and wife Karina of San Angelo, Texas, 3 daughters, Sandra Nieto of Abilene, Texas, and Patricia Nieto and Ruth Nieto, both of Greenwood, Texas, 2 brothers, Erasmo Nieto and Apolinar Polo Nieto Jr., 2 sisters, Teresa Galbaldon and Petra Rivera, as well as 10 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. He was preceded in death by his parents, Apolinar Nieto and Natividad Rivera, brother Jose Luis Nieto and sister Eva Cabral. Prayer service will be held at 7 p.m. Wednesday, September 9th, 2020, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, September 10th, 2020, at Iglesia de Poder y Restauración. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com.
This is the obituary column, Wednesday, September 9th, 2020. Aiden Tijerina Ramos. Aiden Tijerina Ramos received his crown on September 3rd, surrounded by family at 9:03 p.m. in Plano, Texas. He entered the pearly gates of gold to his home forever. Aiden was born on April 29, 1944, in San Angelo, Texas. Aiden was preceded in death by his parents, Abel and Rosita Ramos, sisters, brother, and granddaughter, Clarissa Renee Ramos. He is survived by his loving wife and honey of 52 years, Frances Ramos. His daughter, Joanne Ramos Duran, and husband Ricky L. Duran, his son Ramon Aiden Ramos and wife Delma Ramos. He has six grandchildren and three great-grandsons. Viewing begins on Wednesday, September 9th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and prayer service at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Chapel. Celebration of life on Thursday, September 10th at 10 a.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Chapel. Burial to follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts.online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com.
Brenda Winnell Jones. Brenda Winnell Jones, 71, of Midland, passed away Sunday, September 6, 2020. A viewing will be held from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday, September 10, 2020, at Nally Pittle and Wells Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, September 11th, at Nally Pittle and Wells Funeral Home Chapel. The live stream of this service can be viewed at www.npwelch.com. Burial will follow the service at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Brenda was born on October 18, 1948, in McCamey, Texas, to Olga and Walter Buffalo. Brenda is survived by husband Roy Jones, two children, son Terry Jones and wife Tricia, daughter Kimberly Harris, and husband Trey, seven grandchildren, four great-grandchildren, brother Danny Buffalo, and numerous aunts, uncles, nieces, and nephews. Brenda is preceded in death by parents Olga and Walter Buffalo, brothers Jackie and Jimmy Buffalo, and daughter Angela Molinari. Pallbearers will be Trevin Harris, Tucker Jones, Eli Ballard, Trenton Sam, Brandon York, Cody Rich, and Joseph Trantham. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Penny Hudgens. Penny Wilkins Hudgens was born in Tulia, Texas on March 22, 1946. She died on September 5, 2020 in Midland, Texas. She was 74 years old. She was the child of Ruth and Clyde Wilkins. Penny and Jerry had two children, Brandon Lee Hudgens and Gavin Lee Hudgens, both of Austin, Texas. These children and her four grandchildren were the joys of her life. She loved them dearly. She also loved her daughters-in-law, Megan and Natalie Hudgens. Penny is survived by her one sister, Donna Moss, her husband, Eddie Moss, and by Lynn Hudgens, Fred and Bonnie Hudgens, Dr. Mark and Wendy Moss, Dr. George and Tara Nauer, and many nieces and nephews. Due to the pandemic, a private family memorial will be held at First United Methodist Church in Midland. The Reverend Steve Brooks, who is also from Tulia, will officiate. In lieu of flowers, donations or memorials may be made to Bynum School of Midland, First United Methodist Church, or a charity of your choice. I have had a wonderful life. Penny Hudgens. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Robert Joseph Bryan. Robert Joseph Bobby Bryan was born in Midland in 1943. He passed from this life on Friday, September 4th, 2020. Bobby was preceded in death by his parents, Walter and Mabel Bryan, his brother William Bryan, and his sister Marie Adams. He is survived by his surrogate sisters, Ethel Ruth Sabert and Carolyn Laskowitz, Jack, four nieces and one nephew. A visitation will be held on Wednesday, September 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home. The funeral service will take place 2 p.m. Thursday, September 10th at the Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Fairview Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorials to Bobby Bryan, care of the First Assembly of God Church, 100 East Wadley, Midland, Texas, 79705, for final expenses. Be sure to note Bobby Bryan Memorial. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices. Beatrice Owens Fenner. Beatrice Owens Fenner, 87, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, September 6, 2020. A visitation will be held 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, September 11th at the Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home in Midland. Funeral services will take place 10 a.m. Saturday, September 12th at the First Baptist Church Chapel in Midland. Graveside services will be held at 3 p.m. Saturday, September 12th at the Fairview Cemetery in Pecos, Texas. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Julian Mendoza Carrasco. Julian Mendoza Carrasco, 87, of Midland, passed away on Saturday, September 5th, 2020. A viewing will be held 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesday, September 9th at the Branch at Nellie Picklin Welch, next door to Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. A rosary will take place at 7 p.m. Wednesday, September 9th, also at the Branch at NPW. The funeral mass will take place 10 a.m. Thursday, September 10th at San Miguel Arcangel Catholic Church, with burial to follow at Fairview Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Russell Freddie Byram. Russell Freddie Byram, 84, of Midland, passed away Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020. He was born June 14, 1936, in Wichita Falls, Texas, to Vera Knightstep and Lee Byram. Visitation will be held Wednesday, September 9th, 2020, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Ellis Funeral Home Chapel. Graveside service will be Thursday, September 10th at 11 a.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park, with Bob Porterfield officiating. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Ryan Edmundo Reyes. Ryan Edmundo Reyes, 18, passed away on Sunday, September 6, 2020. Viewing will take place 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Wednesday, September 9th at Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. A rosary will be held 7 p.m. Wednesday, September 9th at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. The funeral mass will take place at 10 a.m. Thursday, September 10th at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Obituary and death notices for Wednesday, September 9th. Jane Austin Burton. Jane Austin Burton was born February 2nd, 1936 in Fulton, Kentucky, and passed away September 2nd. She married Joe Pat Burton in 1959. Jane is survived by her husband, Joe Burton of Odessa, son, David Burton of Odessa, daughter, Jennifer Baxter and husband, Bryce of London, England, son, Paul Burton and wife, Crystal Burton of Glen Rose. She is also survived by six grandchildren, one foster great-grandchild. She is preceded in death by her parents, Wales and Marguerite Austin, and a brother, Jack Austin. She is survived by her sisters-in-law, Gertrude Austin of Fulton, Kentucky, and Alice Humphreys of Murray, Kentucky, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. After a family burial Wednesday at Sunset Memorial Gardens, Jane will be honored with a memorial service at 10 a.m. Saturday, September 12th at Sherwood Church of Christ in Odessa. Due to an immune-compromised family member, please wear a mask. In lieu of flowers, memorials can be made in Jane's honor to Sherwood Church of Christ in Odessa. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Michael Dudley Sledge. Michael Dudley Sledge, 68, of Odessa, died Friday, September 4th. A graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. September 10th at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with Chaplain Doug Herget officiating. Maria Celestina Cesares. Maria Celestina Cesares, 87, of Odessa, died Saturday, September 5th. A celebration of life is scheduled for 1 p.m. Thursday, September 10th at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. At the family's request, cremation has been opted as the alternate means of burial. Father Joseph Icker is officiating. George Christopher Kemper. George Christopher Kemper, 55, died Sunday, September 6th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Statin and niacin dosage discrepancy. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach, Wednesday, September 9th, 2020. Dear Dr. Roach, I have two doctors with somewhat opposing views. One wants me to continue taking a statin and crystal niacin, nicotinic acid, to control my cholesterol. The other wants me to stop taking the niacin and increase the dose of the statin. I currently take 20 milligrams of Lipitor and 1,000 milligrams of niacin per day. What do you recommend? Answer. The evidence is firmly on the side of the second doctor. Although niacin was shown to be of some benefit in the pre-statin era, it has been subsequently found that although niacin may make the numbers look better, especially the HDL cholesterol, it adds very little benefit, if any, to statin therapy. Niacin can cause symptoms, flushing, and abnormalities in the liver, and it predisposes a person to diabetes. The last two worse than statins do. I recommend you stop taking the niacin and adjust the Lipitor dose based on individual risk.
Dear Abby, attention paid to ex-fiancé Anchor's wife for 20 years. Dear Abby, my wife and I were married 30 years when we ran into an old girlfriend and ex-fiancé of mine at a function. I spent a good part of the evening dancing with her and ignoring my wife. My wife says I was indecent with the girlfriend and it hurt her badly. It was 20 years ago, but my wife lets me hear about it every day. I can't take it any longer. She refuses to get help or forgive me. Our marriage has gone downhill ever since. What do you recommend I do to make it up to her? I've tried a few things to no avail. Past isn't in the past. Dear Past, your performance at that function must have been deeply humiliating to your wife. Was your regrettable behavior with your ex-fiancé a one-time thing, or has it happened since? You stated this happened 20 years ago, and you have attempted to make amends to no avail. Unless there's more to the story than you have written, it appears your wife enjoys carrying a grudge and punishing you, which is, in my opinion, worse than what you did. Please quit allowing her to continue to punish you. Get counseling if you need to, and offer her the option of counseling again. Understand that if she refuses, you have important decisions to make about your future. Discuss with your therapist what emotionally healthy options there may be for you, but don't continue to settle for the status quo. Dear Abby, my husband's mother passed away recently after a long illness. She lived in another state. He couldn't be there while she was sick or when she died, because he was also ill. He carries a lot of guilt about it. I saw a cell phone message from her before she died, saying she was dying and asking him to come help her. I deleted it because hearing it would have put added stress on him and made him sicker. Now I feel guilty. Should I keep quiet or confess? He still is not well. Guilty daughter-in-law. Dear Guilty, you made a rational choice for a solid reason when you decided to delete the message instead of sharing it with your husband. If you feel you must confess, disclose it to your spiritual advisor or someone you can trust who is closer to you than I am. Personally, considering the state of your husband's health, I think the choice you made was the correct one. Dear Abby, I've been dating my widower boyfriend for 4 years, and for my birthday this year, he gave me an inexpensive tea kettle. I don't drink tea. I had been hinting that I would love a piece of fine jewelry because I have never received anything like that from him. Should I say something? A pretty necklace or a bottle of my favorite cologne are things I would have preferred. Something thoughtful and meaningful. I feel sad and unappreciated. Anonymous in Michigan. Dear Anonymous, you appear to be involved with someone who has little imagination or is frugal to a fault. Tell your widower boyfriend of 4 years how you felt about receiving a kettle for your birthday because you hoped for something that showed he had given more thought to what you might prefer. Then, instead of hinting, educate him about the items on your wish list when your next birthday rolls around. Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Virgo and a moon in Gemini. Happy birthday for Wednesday, September 9, 2020. Discriminating and introspective, you're drawn to a challenge. Easily bored, you often make life more difficult for yourself, but this year you succeed remarkably well in your career and finances, and you sort out the personal as the year ends. If single, you keep to yourself this year after a big disappointment. If attached, your partner likes to nurture you, and your private bond intensifies this year. Sagittarius wants to explore. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 4 stars. You write from a deep place. It's a good day for working on any writing project or journaling. Be aware that your thinking could be unduly influenced by matters from the past. A female relative plays a role now. Tonight, answer long put-off emails. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 4 stars. It's a service day. Adjust to the needs of loved ones. You teach and guide. You offer advice and support, but know when to say enough is enough. Focus on making people happy. Balance your budget. Tonight, family members show their gratitude in surprising ways. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 5 stars. Assuming the persona best suited to any occasion is second nature to you. Today is not a time to show the whimsical side. A serious practicality helps you best. Cleanliness and efficiency spell success. A second opinion helps solve any problems. Tonight, celebrate yourself. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 5 stars. You wake remembering vivid dreams. Write them down. Your aspirations undergo a transformation. Background research and testing of techniques lead to success. Develop depth of concentration. Being alone will seem more enjoyable. Tonight, your good work will be rewarded. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Conditions around you are changing, and emotions are strong. Adapt. Explore. Upkeep of your surroundings and attention to health are musts. Be patient with family members. Make your home peaceful and safe. Tonight, become a member of a prestigious organization. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. A reputation as the Zodiac's warrior and worker often makes Virgos complain that their birth sign isn't too exciting. But it is. Today helps you develop latent talents, be noticed by influential people, and broaden your scope of activity. Tonight, accept all invitations. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. You must be careful of involvement in love triangles or associations with those who have addictive tendencies. Letting go of a destructive love that doesn't bring you a joy is a prelude to finding true happiness. Tonight, you are blessed with a new love connection. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 4 stars. The reputation for passion linked to your sign will be in evidence today. Your yearning for depth and intimacy will manifest. For an even more intense bond, try exploring early childhood memories with a loved one. Tonight, reach out to a long-lost friend. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 5 stars. Romance has been tinged with responsibility or old regrets. The last remnants of that pattern are passing today. Cupid will smile on you and activate potential for attracting love and happiness. Reach out to those you admire. Tonight, dance like no one's watching. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19, 4 stars. Your knees, skin, and teeth tend to be vulnerable. Today is an especially good time for correcting bad health habits. Plenty of calcium in your diet is a must. Soybeans, Brazil nuts, almonds, and pistachios are good choices for snacks. Tonight, begin a health journal. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 5 stars. A feeling of lightness and hope is generated. Children will show talent and maturity. An exciting new creative project or new love is rich with promise. You will be liberated from old heartaches and disappointments. Tonight, existing relationships transform for the better. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 4 stars. Today isn't your happiest day for travel. Since you are quite domestic, you can find plenty to keep you content around your own home. Goals are more reachable and clearly defined. Friendship spans the generation gap gracefully. Tonight, reach out to a long-lost family member. Born today, writer Leo Tolstoy, 1828, actress Sylvia Miles, 1924, singer Otis Redding, 1941.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.